You're listening to A Roundabout Chattanooga. I'm Michael Edward Miller. Now we have a conversation with a local artist who has a new exhibition at the Reflections Gallery on Lee Highway. It opens on Friday, September 15th. Nathan Kilpatrick creates custom frames for paintings at that gallery on Lee Highway. Kilpatrick is also a painter and sculptor, and he likes to work with found objects, pieces of wood that have washed up on the shore, or that he finds discarded in trash piles. His exhibition of work is opening at the Reflections Gallery this Friday, and WUTC's Richard Winham stopped by to look at some of Kilpatrick's work and to talk to Kilpatrick about his unusual approach to framing and sculpture.
It was while he was in middle school that Nathan Kilpatrick first developed an interest in painting, and he's still passionate about painting. But what really fascinates him is upcycling.
I started out really young in middle school, kind of finding an interest in that, and then got into the mechanics sort of behind that. It's stretching my own canvases and finding materials to make canvases out of and just experimenting with that, and then naturally got into framing also. So I use a lot of reclaimed materials, kind of, I think, upcycling it's called, you know.
Taking something that's been discarded and giving it a better home, huh?
Well, this piece was a handrail on a porch that they wound up not wanting to use, so I was able to take it and rough it up a little bit, you know, a little bit more, and even clean it up some too, and yeah, really dress it up and turn it into a frame that looks great for the piece. Another part of the show is I want to kind of focus on are the sculptures. I use a lot of found sculptures. This is I think it's called a yaupon tree. I found it in a landscaping pile out behind the gallery, and I just thought it looked so neat. It looks like a bonsai.
It does. Know? That's
it's
exactly
so
what I was
intricate.
Thinking. It appears to be dead, right? Is it dead?
It is, yeah. Yep. I guess that's why it was in the landscaping pile in the first place. So.
But it's not brittle.
No, well, some of the smaller branches are, but in this one, I've tried to fortify it a little bit with a clear coat, and just, again, working with found objects and just scrap wood and trying to come up with something that looks pretty good.
His abiding fascination with repurposing found objects, mostly wood, is apparent in Nathan's frames, which are often unfinished and rough-hewn. But his paintings are impressionistic and best seen from several feet away.
I always tell this story. One time we had a show here at the gallery, and there were several people, 20, 30 people here, and I happened to see a couple of girls standing next to my art bin where I have prints or paintings like this, and they were maybe 11 or 12, and one of them said to the other that these paintings are so foreboding. Mm. And I thought, gosh, if I could, you know, get a young person to say something like that, that's pretty neat. And that's right. That's kind of the mood I like to go for, kind of darkened skies and wind blowing. And
you seem to like cloudy days.
I do, yeah. Yep, stormy days. It's peaceful, I think.
Most people wouldn't say that, Nathan.
Well,
a stormy day is not, for most people, it's not peaceful. It's just the opposite, you know?
Well, maybe not when it's lightning and thundering, but you know, when it's just kind of overcast and there's just a calm to it that I enjoy, especially when you see mountains. If you can see mountains and it's just surrounded by mists and clouds, and it's just gorgeous, I think. And I like working with texture. Like this is, these particular canvases here are just made of bits of plywood that have been put together, you know, formed together, but they're different, like fractured kind of pieces.
It almost looks like it's layered here, and you have splintered pieces.
Mm-hmm. I experiment a lot with different looks and textures to get different feelings, different ways of just expressing the painting.
Because that doesn't look like wood. That looks like folded paper.
That's interesting.
Looks like somebody has wrapped it.
Just wrinkled it. Yeah, that's neat. But yeah, it's plywood, and I like to make my own canvases just to show the rough edges. They have rough edges. They're not perfectly square pieces. The frames are, hopefully, but the artwork itself is it just varies in shape and size. A lot of unusual sizes. It helps being a framer, so you can work with unusual sized paintings.
One of his paintings on the wall in the gallery is set in a frame with a border of negative space between the edge of the canvas and the frame.
It's called floating, when you can float an image like that and you just put it on a background and the frame kind of sits apart from it and lets it breathe a little. And here's another example of that over here. And this is just totally found wood. The beams came from a gutted house. They were just scrap wood. So I was able to make a frame out of that. And then the bottom piece I found just outside, been in the weather, been in the rain forever. And I was able to put it together and make a pretty original frame out of it.
You started painting in middle school, you said?
Yeah. Nothing serious, of course, but that's when I first started taking a real interest in it. And in high school, I had an excellent art teacher, Mrs. Wesley, in Lafayette High School. And she was just great, really encouraging, talented herself. And a series of art teachers after that were just inspiring and helped me learn how to stretch the canvases and learn how to, like I said earlier, the mechanics of the whole thing.
To have the mechanics like that.
Well, it's fine.
Does one work with the other?
Oh, it allows you to do a number of things. Different size, different shape canvases, burlap. I like to use burlap a lot, so I can make my own stretcher bars. And sometimes I've made pieces before that fit around a 90-degree wall. Like if a wall juts out, the canvas can wrap around the wall, and you can stretch your own canvas to do that. And that's a really neat look. Or even an inside corner, if you want to put a canvas there. So it's really open, just whatever you have the materials and time to do.
I wonder which came first. Well, somebody taught you to frame. So you think like a framer, because you're thinking in terms of the placement and the physical presence of the painting as much as the painting itself.
Yeah, and that's, you know, they kind of tell you not to paint a picture for the frame, but you know, sometimes you can break the rules a little and you work with what you have. And yeah, it is neat. My dad's a handyman. He's really good construction and building things. So I picked up a lot of that side of woodworking from him, and then just pursued it myself after that, and experiments and trying different things, and just wound up where I am now, just kind of being able to see a spot in the wall or have an idea and make it happen.
And this all started in junior high school when you had an art teacher who was encouraging you to be a painter.
Yeah.
So what happened after that? Did you go to college? Did you study art?
Kennesaw State. I studied graphic design there, and I took a painting classes and some art classes, But really, I think I learned more outside of the class just experimenting than anything else.
Well, because your stuff isn't conventional.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think that kind of shows.
But when you were in school, they were teaching you basic techniques.
Yeah.
So you had a grounding in that.
Line, shape,
graphic artist.
Form, design. Well, no, I never did pursue the graphic design after that.
No, but you studied it.
Yeah.
So it's in there.
Yeah.
So that's relatively formal.
Mm-hmm.
So you had all this formal training, and then because everybody says you can't break the rules until you understand them.
Certainly.
Right?
Yeah. I do agree with that, because you don't know. Well, it's just good to start with a foundation, like I mentioned earlier, line, shape, and form. You know, learning what works on a canvas, what kind of composition you want. That's really important too. And sometimes it's hit or miss, you know, and I think it's that way.
But it's not random.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you were simply breaking the rules, it'd be random. Sometimes you'd hit on something.
Oh, there's a method to my madness.
Yes, that,
yeah.
but at the same time, it's experimental. So sometimes it just doesn't come off the way you thought it would.
Sure.
What you see in your mind's eye doesn't translate to the canvas.
Yeah, and it's hard to completely Xerox what's in your head to the canvas, you know. So that's difficult, but it's always worth trying.
So you have all these, you have these technical skills, and you got your woodworking skills from your dad. At what point did you become a framer?
Well, that was a college job when I was in Kennesaw, and because I already did it myself for my own paintings, I had a pretty good leg up, you know, so I was able to get a job doing that for customers and working with customers. So, and My parents own a, I know this is kind of random, my parents own a blueberry farm, and so I'm used to talking to people, you know, all summer long. There'd be just dozens of people in the yard picking, so we'd talk to people, and that helped with the customer service end of it, you know, so working with customers and talking about what kind of art, like if it was a commission piece or a custom framing, talking about what they're looking for, what their needs are, and what I'm capable of doing for them, you know. And so that helped with that. And then I started here about 6 years ago at Reflections Gallery. And I already had a number of years framing before that. So I just fit like a glove here. And just, it's such a creative environment. And it really fosters this kind of experimental behavior, you know. So it's so just a great environment.
When did you first start making frames like that? Because these are far from conventional frames, right?
They are. I couldn't really put a pin on that date. It just sort of evolved.
That's something you've always been doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're on a blueberry farm, so I assume you had wood crates and that kind of stuff around anyways.
Well, it was a pick-your-own farm, kind of a smaller deal. But yeah, there were the woods around, so that helped. I was able to find, I like finding tree stumps. I've used cedar trees and make little, I think they're called fairy houses. It's like a little birdhouse, but just in tree stumps. So again, using natural found objects and seeing what I could do with them.
Nathan Kilpatrick's work divides basically into pieces he's created using found objects, pieces of driftwood, discarded remnants from carpentry projects, and his paintings and stained glass designs, which are impressionistic, not quite abstract, but open to interpretation.
I really like impressionistic work, and even in my stained glass, I like to take impressionist paintings because the glass itself has a certain flow to it, and you can really bring out impressionist paintings with different types of glass.
His method of painting was a bit of a challenge for Nathan Kilpatrick at first. He's working, of course, very close to the canvas, but his paintings aren't really clear until you step back from them.
Now, I kind of stumbled on that. It wasn't intentional at first, but now that I can kind of see what I'm doing and what I'd like the painting to look like, you can put your brush down and stand back for a minute and turn the painting upside down and see what's not balanced right, you know, and just look at it in every angle and different lighting. Lighting affects it too.
Working with the stained glass, he's not able to manipulate the images, obviously, the way he can with the oils he uses for painting. But he uses imperfections in the glass and the play of light to create almost rippling three-dimensional images.
You can get stained glass in a number of different sizes. Usually it's a foot by foot, and it comes in just every color combination you can imagine. And it's they teach it here at the gallery, so I help, you know, I kind of picked up a lot from the classes here. And but it's fun to being able to express yourself in that way also, because it is a whole different ball game than painting.
It is. So how do you begin to do that? Do you cut the pieces of glass?
Yeah, you there's a whole process that we teach here, and it's about finding the right tone, the right color of glass, and you have to hold it up to the light and hold it away from the light and put them next to each other just to get the right combination, because you can create effects in like you could in a painting, atmosphere and distance, and you can show that in just two-dimensional glass. You know, it's really neat.
Yeah, because it's not really two-dimensional, is it? Because light adds a third dimension.
Certainly, yeah. Yeah, it's a medium that requires sunlight, you know, to really make it shine. So it's a really neat art form.
It is, and so I'm getting that it also presents a similar challenge to the one where when you're up close to it, you can't see it. With the glass, it's the same way, right? You've got to step back from it to see what you're getting.
You have to have a good pattern, and a light box helps too when you're designing.
Oh, I can see that. Okay, so you have a light box, and it's a bit like putting a jigsaw puzzle together, I imagine. You place the pieces of glass in the light box and see how it plays against each other?
Right, yeah, to get the right color combination, and it's very helpful, yeah.
And so what are you looking for when you're working with glass? Are you trying to create... it's abstract, right? It's not as specific as when you're working with oil. You can't make anything that... Well, you can. It's stained glass, right?
There are limitations in the shapes, yeah.
Right? They do portraits and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can paint on glass also and fire it. And
but you don't work that way.
No, I haven't.
You prefer the abstraction.
I think I do, yeah. It's another one of those art forms that I just kind of stumbled on doing and wound up really liking. And it's a dangerous one, too, because you'll always have another project in mind. You'll always have, once you start a stained glass, you'll always have the next project in mind. So there's just unlimited things you can do with it.
The exhibition of Nathan Kilpatrick's paintings, sculpture, and stained glass called A Walk Outdoors will be in Reflections Gallery on Lee Highway beginning this Friday, September 15th. There'll be a reception at the gallery from 4 until 7 that afternoon, where you'll have the opportunity to chat with Nathan about his work. Details are on the website, reflectionsgallerytn.com. For WUTC's Around and About Chattanooga, I'm Richard Winham.
And that's it for our show today. Thank you all for listening. I am Michael Edward Miller. If you have questions, comments, or story ideas, email me, mike-miller@utc.edu.
Around and About Chattanooga is a production of WUTC with contributions by the staff and volunteers of WUTC. Find us online at wutc.org.